Welcome to a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a very, special, I'd call it special, top five for you. Steve, what is this top five?
It's that time of the year. It is time for the summer vacation, whether that's with the friends, with the family, whatever it is. We want to know the top five characters you want to bring on your summer vacation with you.
But we have a lot of podcasts coming at you, so let's start the show, which is a conversation already in progress.
So yeah, man, I have passed out several times in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like you've told me this before, but like most things you tell me, I forget them in like a week.
No, there's with varying degrees of embarrassment.
Like 98 degrees?
It's like the band. It's very, very similar.
Yeah. I don't care who you are, where you're from, what you did, as long as you love me.
No, Backstreet Boys. Wrong reference.
Wait, what?
That's Backstreet Boys.
What is 98 Degrees?
98 Degrees is a different boy band from the same era.
Well, I know, but what was their song?
Why
are we talking about boy bands now?
Because that's what we want to be, isn't it?
That's right.
That's what we've always wanted to be. Honestly, it's a pretty sweet gig to be the boy band when you're 18 years old or something. It's a pretty sweet gig.
I mean,
dude.
You would know, dude.
I mean, let me tell you a little story now about another guy who had sex with Britney Spears. No, I've passed out. Probably in my life, I'd say I've passed out half a dozen times, maybe.
Really?
Not like passed out drunk.
Yeah.
I've never done that. Maybe once. Not like fell over drunk. But like, I was like, I think I'm just going to lay down sleeping. But literally, I am now conscious and now I'm not. That the two best ones, I suppose, or worst ones, however you want to do it. I was probably in maybe like junior high or something like that. I was at home. And you know, sometimes when you're standing or you're sitting on the ground or something, you're low and you get up really high, or you get up very quickly,
mm-hmm.
and you get a little bit of like lightheadedness sometimes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you.
Oh yeah, all the time.
Basically, I was like playing video games or something in seventh grade, and I got up real fast, and I got lightheaded, and I took a step to the side, and I started seeing the stars and the
little cuckoo birds.
Have you ever passed out?
No. I mean, passed out drunk once or twice, but...
just regular stone cold sober, just something happens and
no.
Out go the lights.
No.
So when it happens to me, I get this rush of heat over your body real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like if you close your eye and like you rub your eye, like you have allergies or something, and you kind of see these kind of like stars in your eyes sort of thing. That's like, that sort of thing. It's that starts happening, but you're not rubbing your eyes and your eyes are open. You start to see this like blah, 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 in your
Ooh.
Eyes. So I get up real fast and I turn and I was like, uh-oh. And I, just like a tree, I like start slowly inching, leaning forward, and I'm tipping, and I fall. But my bed catches my fall. However, I have a spring bed. So like a board, I go, boing, I fall forward, I hit the bed, and I come like straight back up and fall over backwards. It's like a cartoon, like, and I'm going forward and I'm backwards. So like I laid on the ground for, I don't know, it was probably just, you know, 10, 20 seconds, whatever it was. I open my eyes. I'm like, I'm laying on the floor. I thought I was going to lay on the bed, but here I am on my back, on the floor, looking at my bed.
Yeah.
So nobody saw that one. But
ooh,
I was probably in maybe, let's say, fourth or fifth grade, something along those lines. I was in church, and it was the Christmas choir concert.
Okay.
And I was in the children's choir at church.
Ooh.
So I'm in front of our entire congregation, and it's so weird for me to talk about being in church because it's such a foreign thing to me now.
I can't even picture it.
But I, as a young man, as a youth, my grandmother took me to church,
mm-hmm.
and which learned many good lessons as a youth. But,
sure, sure.
So I'm up. I was still like the tallest kid at that time. So I'm up on the third riser wearing this super heavy choir gown,
mm-hmm.
like just the old ones from like 1972,
mm-hmm.
made out of, I don't know, lead and lava.
Only comes down to your belly button because, like, you're so tall.
Oh, like, there's steam pour, like smoke just coming out of the bottom. They're so hot. So, and they've got these lights on us because it's the Christmas performance thing, whatever. So we're singing whatever hymns and whatever it is up there, and like, oh, look at the children being so beautiful. And I'm like, hey, it's so hot. I'm like, and I'm up on the top, and so the top riser, it's probably, I don't know, what, 3 feet off the ground, maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe even higher, I don't know. But then I'm standing on top of it. So instead of falling backwards off the riser onto this giant, like, stone slab, instead of doing that, I fall forward, tumbling down over all the other children. And, of course, when you line up all the children by size, the kindergartners are on the ground standing in the very front row.
Oh,
and of
no.
course, where does my head come down when I go timber like a tree? My head comes down, smashes into the back of a kindergartner's head.
Oh my god.
I mean, I had no control over it. I just passed. So I just did a flying headbutt off the top rope on this kindergartner straight to his head. So the next thing I know...
But Steve, did you pin him for the 3 count?
Someone came in and hit me with a chair.
Like, oh, no.
And then Vince McMahon was pissed. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the next thing I know is someone is carrying me down the aisle of the church. And then the next thing, I'm in the back seat of my grandmother's car being driven home. And as I'm being pulled out of the church, I just hear the sound of this kindergartner kid fucking screaming. Like, not just crying, he is bawling. Just, he's like, like, and I was like, what happened? And then I've got this big, like, lump on my head. And my grandma's like, you passed out. And I was like, what the hell? So, yeah, I have passed out, friend.
Wow. The only time, hey, I don't even know if you count the other one as passing out. But, like, I was on my way to bed, drinking a lot, kind of tripped in the living room. I was like, this looks like a good place to sleep.
And then there's this kindergartner there.
And I gave him a headbutt.
It's like, what?
But and the other time that I told you told that first one on the podcast before. The other time was like, I was heading to bed, and I don't remember going to bed, but I remember being in the bedroom. Next thing I know, I'm waking up next to my bed. So I think I like fell asleep standing up and like didn't quite make the bed. So that's the only times I passed out, my friend.
So I almost passed out for a very, very different reason. This last, not literally, but
okay.
It was trying to be a segue right there.
I thought you were going to say that you were kind of like John Wayne. You know, he had such a huge dong.
I only have so much blood in this body, baby.
Exactly.
This is news of the unwelcome variety.
Oh.
So as I told you about a month ago, they announced they'll be releasing XCOM 2 in November.
That's correct.
And I was like, I mean, I was over the moon. One of the best texts I had received in a long time. I was like, yeah, fucking XCOM 2, like, holiday season, baby. Let's yeah. Oh my God, can't wait. And I saw the trailer for it. I was like, yes, it's going to be great. And then I was bored at work the other day. I was like, I got a couple minutes here to kill. I'm going to do a little snooping on some XCOM, see what they're thinking about doing. And I realized that their announcement was for the PC.
Oh, what?
And there is no console release date.
What?
Because they're making the game for PC.
No way.
And they said, well, I don't know. We might be able to do it on console. But we are developing this game for PC, and eventually down the road, if we can put it on console, that'd be fine. But that is not in the plans right now.
Oh, man, that sucks, dude.
It sucks super hard.
Do you have a good gaming PC?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
I have a 6-year-old Mac laptop.
So the pinnacle of technology.
Ah, dude. So now I've been like, the last couple of weeks, I'm like, ugh, do I have to buy a PC?
Steve, I think you might.
I kind of think I need to buy a PC.
Yeah.
For November.
But okay, but why did you almost pass out?
Because I was so disappointed.
That's disappointed, my friend.
I'm really disappointed in it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I cannot emphasize to you how disappointed I am in this.
Dude, I don't know how to make it better. I have
you
XCOM.
Could buy me a PC.
Oh, well, Steve.
A full gaming rig. That'd be awesome.
Look behind door number one.
Oh, it's that kid I passed out on.
He gives you a flying headbutt.
God, he's so mad.
He's still a kindergartner.
Dude, it is a total buzzkill.
Man, I'm really sorry to hear that. I know you were excited about it.
I know some others would be as well. But part of the reason that they can't do it on console is because what they want to do is create a basically randomly generated map every single time up. Mm-hmm. So it's no longer the same six or eight maps that show up. It's new stuff every single time.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes! Yes! And they're adding new modes to the game mm-hmm. where it is you don't just need to go kill all the aliens on the map. Mm-hmm. There's kind of like blitz kind of modes and different tactical things that you need to do instead of just kill everything. And I was like, oh my god, I can't wait to play this game, but I'm going to have to wait like 7 years to play this game.
Well, Steve, when you get a new PC in November,
yes.
I really want to see it.
Yes, it will be great.
It's going to be so fast.
It's going to be good.
Dude, what kind of PC? Would you get a PC or a Mac?
Oh, absolutely a PC.
Really?
Well, if I'm buying it for the honestly, this is...
Oh, so it's not being made for the Mac as well? It's being made just for the PC?
If I am buying a computer system with the main purpose of playing games, mm-hmm. there's no reason to buy a Mac. There's zero reason.
See, I don't know the difference really between the PC and a Mac as far as games are concerned.
The main thing is that a PC will allow you... I shouldn't say the main thing. A major component is the components to a PC that you can build it yourself and mm-hmm. you can then upgrade it as time goes by instead of having to buy a new PC every, whatever, 6 years. Like oh, it's fantastic. It's good. It's moderate. It's shitty for 2 years and then you buy a new PC. Like, yeah. New graphics card, new this, new add memory. The Mac is like, this is it. Don't touch it.
Yeah.
Do not touch it.
Mm-hmm.
And many, it's the PC, or excuse me, the Macs are not, they don't even make a lot of the games for Mac, just because they're like, their chipset is different, and their graphic processing is different, and it's very much the little brother of computer gaming.
Sure.
So if your main crux is to play games, PC without a basically handmade PC for sure is the way to go.
It's
cheaper than a Mac too, actually.
I know nothing about gaming on computers. Like, remember, I just played Dreamfall, which came out like in 2007 on my PC not too long ago. So, I feel like I'm not current.
And actually, I was talking to the wifey about this too a little bit before in the last year, and I think the setup I would rather have in the house, because right now she has a laptop, I have a laptop, just because we both do,
mm-hmm.
and...
Separate laptops. You know what's next?
Separate bank accounts?
I was going to say divorce.
Yeah. That sex change operations. That's that's what's next. Look out.
Yep, that point A directly leads to point B.
Obviously. Thank you. I think what I want to do is I want to get a good PC setup, like dual monitor, that would allow me to do like good photo editing on the PC and allow me to play games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just in the second room when a stationary PC and like for downloading things totally legally.
Yeah, of course.
Those kind of things.
And like then, on Steam and stuff?
Yeah. Have Steam and have the ability to upgrade that and then have like a tablet kind of like on the couch area.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're just sitting there and, you know, perusing through Reddit and Imgur and, you know, the Chive, whatever, not using my phone, I'm not using a laptop, it's just something small, easy, but like a decent screen on it. I feel like that setup is better than just having a laptop that doesn't really play games. It's kind of too slow to do photo editing. Mm-hmm. I can't do like a Photoshop. I can't do that. It's just in the middle. It's okay at enough things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really comfortable to have in your lap on the couch.
Yeah.
So I think that's the setup I'd like to go for.
Hey, man. Well, dream big. Dreams do come true. I mean, I've seen Disney movies.
Thank you.
And I've seen the Disney movie where the kid wants a computer and then turns into a wooden puppet? I don't know.
And then he gets a sex change operation?
I think that's it.
Was that the Iron Giant? No, that's a different
one.
That's a very different movie.
Very
different.
Oof. Vin Diesel stars in that one.
He does.
We talked about huge dongs earlier.
Is Vin Diesel packing heat?
Well, you've seen the Iron Giant.
Yeah, and I don't think the Iron Giant is... I mean, I don't think he's engineered with wangage.
Did I see the wrong Iron Giant?
I think you might have seen a very different Iron Giant.
Oh, no.
Yeah, dude, total bummer on XCOM.
I'm really sorry to hear that, man.
God.
I'm really sorry to hear that. But on a much better note, I opened my show, The Man in the Iron Mask.
For PC only?
For PC only, so you can't come. Your PC sucks. So I opened my show, and I think we talked about it before, but just a quick recap. I'm playing the Man in the Iron Mask slash his twin brother, the King. But the odd slash cool part about this theater company is they produce shows outside, but not in one stationary area. They actually hike the audience from one location to another for each scene. So for each... So the first scene for me is when I'm in the Iron Mask, and it's a really small area, really closed in by trees, and the audience is supposed to be seated like lengthwise, so we have a wide playing spot. This is the opening of the show, by the way. For some reason, they were placed like widthwise, so we had a very small playing space. So. And a lot of my scene takes place, you know, downstage left, close to the audience, which is basically inside of a tree. So I was acting in an iron mask inside of a deciduous tree, being attacked by mosquitoes, covered in sweat because it's over 80 degrees, and I forgot to put on bug spray, and my mask was falling off at the time. Like, I have little kindergartners in the audience that you're trying to headbutt for some reason. It was an interesting way to start out the opening of the show.
Yeah, it sounds that way.
But the rest of the show went all right.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Because the mosquitoes carried you away to a different area.
Exactly. No, man, there is nothing freakier. I don't know if that's the word. But like when you're in that iron mask, only your mouth and eyes are
exposed.
Exposed. So like all the bugs can get at. Are your mouth and eyes?
Ah, no.
Yeah, so you're just looking, and all you can see are these gigantic mosquitoes, and you can't like swat at them like a little girl, like what I want to.
Well, to be fair, I feel like the man in the iron mask would also be like, "Oh, fucking mosquitoes, get the oh god."
And yeah, man. So, but the shows went well besides that first scene.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear such a thing.
So before we get into the emails, have you been playing anything, watching anything?
Oh yeah, dude, Arkham Knight. Yeah. I've beaten it. Very good game.
Okay.
Very, very good game. And in so many ways, it is the best Arkham game. In a lot of ways, it is.
Okay.
I just don't love it as much as the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like saying which is your favorite Lord of the Rings movie. Mm-hmm. I'm not downplaying this one and that it's bad in any way. It's just the other ones, as soon as I was done playing, I'm like, yes, oh my god, it is the best. I was like, I love this game. And this, I'm like, this game is really, really good. that's the biggest critique, I suppose, and save it. Well, as I mentioned before, the Batmobile is a little difficult to drive at times. The game might rely on it a little bit more than it should, I suppose.
Sure.
But I think some of the storytelling is really, really cool this game. And they find really interesting ways to bring in some other aspects that they've not done in previous Arkham games,
okay,
which is cool.
It kind of sounds like that the Arkham Origin... No, not that one.
I don't even consider that part of the canon.
Arkham Asylum was kind of a huge surprise. The jump to Arkham City, like, they made so many changes, made it so much better. But then the jump to Arkham Knight may not have been quite as big as a jump.
Yeah, that I think that's an accurate way to put it. The things they've done better here, they did a really great job of fleshing out Arkham City and making it feel...
Fleshing out.
Excuse me, thank you. No, they just dropped it. Dropped like a big old deuce, flushed it out. Fleshed it out. The city feels more like... a cohesive city, like an actual city, mm-hmm. in a way. This is not a spoiler, but the very first part of like the exposition of the game is that Scarecrow is going to release this giant cloud of nerve toxin over...
What? He never does that.
Right? What a surprise! Over Gotham City. So the reason that there are no people in Gotham City, as in civilians, mm-hmm. is that they are all evacuated because of this. So all you have are these, you know, hooligans and criminals and gangs and stuff. That's why that's what's left there. But they do a really good job of making it feel like a city that is lived in, mm-hmm. for, and not this general backdrop to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the really cool thing is that they do a fantastic job, probably the best in any game I've played, actually, of making the side missions feel important and making them weave into the main storyline really, really well. So as you're going from point A to point B for this part of main story, you come across a couple of side mission things. You're like, so now they're on your map. You can come back and do them whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I both play the same way. We're like, we'll do a main mission story. We'll do a couple side missions, main mission, some side. Get kind of lost on this side mission for a while. Come
mm-hmm.
back.
Mm-hmm.
And this game really does a fantastic job of unfolding those things at a really great pace and making them incorporate into the greater scheme of the game really, really, really well.
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah, so that part's awesome. But
great. Anything else that you've been playing, watching?
No, man, I've been pretty much focused on the Arkham, on the Knight.
Okay. Well, I just wrapped up Just Cause 2. I had said before that I was going to platy this game. Oh, no, my friend. Oh, no. I spent maybe about 22-ish hours to beat this game. And around hour 15, it started feeling very repetitive.
Very grindy.
Very grindy already. Still doing the story missions.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I beat it around hour 22. I looked up how long it would take approximately to platy. Over 80 hours.
Brr.
No thank you.
There is much to be said for a game that gives you replay value and a depth of game. When you're spending $60 for a game or whatever it is,
yeah,
you want to have value in a game. But you don't want a game that takes 3.5 hours to beat. You also don't want a game that takes 80 hours to master. Like,
exactly.
Mm-mm, no,
it,
no.
If it were GTA 5 and you had to do all these different
sure.
kinds of things, I mean,
sure.
I probably dropped over 50 hours in GTA 5 just playing through the story.
Sure.
And doing everything else. But Just Cause 2, you just hit this repetition of you go, you shoot some guys, you take this thing from point A to point B, you blow up some things, maybe do a couple races, and then you do that for 80 hours to platy this thing.
No.
No, I couldn't do it.
No.
Last thing I'll say before we get to the emails, I started playing Aether 1 a couple days ago.
Aether 1, which
is a PS Plus free game on the PS4 a couple of months ago. And I'm always a couple of months behind.
Oh, dude, we got to start playing Rocket League.
Oh, that's right!
Yes, because I've been out of town for the last couple days, so I don't have a chance to download it yet. But next week, we have got to have a full report of at least 5 matches of Rocket League.
Done.
Done.
Done! Are we going to learn how to play together? Are we going to practice a little bit by ourselves? I want to make sure that we're coming in at the same level.
Yeah, you know, after this podcast is done, we're going to play a couple games.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go home, and then I'm going to play a lot of other people and get way better, and then beat the shit out of you.
That sounds great. Aether 1 Really Fast is a first-person adventure game. It's an okay story. Looks like it's going to be kind of a cool story. I'm kind of lukewarm on it because of this one mechanic. Drives me nuts. You can only carry one thing at a time.
Oh, that's a nightmare for you.
It is. And I don't drop the F-bomb lightly, but I was sitting here and I legitimately said, is this motherfucker one-handed? Is this motherfucker one-handed with no pockets?
Get this man a pocket!
God damn it!
Someone just brings him a hot pocket, and he drops what he's carrying to grab. No!
He's burning his one hand because it's so
oh!
hot.
Now I have no hands.
But, of course, I'll beat it. I played it for an hour, and I'm already 25% of the way through the game. So I'll beat it, and I'll get
you
a full report.
80 hours to go.
80 hours to go. But, Steve, with that, all that being said,
Chase,
let's get to the emails.
Yes.
So our last podcast, our top 5 was Dream Crossovers.
Which I have not stopped thinking about, the American Gladiators versus people you hate. I think it is a great idea.
But neither has our fans stopped thinking about it either, because they wrote in, Tony wrote in his top 5 dream crossovers. His number 5 is Supernatural and The Evil Dead.
Oh.
Two great tastes that have to go great together. His number 4 is Riddick and The Predator and The Crew of Serenity.
Wow.
I have to read the pitch for this. The pitch. One day, when the crew of Serenity are on a planet pulling off a job that needs all the members of the ship at the same time, they are blindsided by 7 Reaver ships and are forced to run and try to outrun the Reavers. When on the run, they come across Riddick, who is being hunted by a hunting party of predators. So now Riddick and the crew must team up to escape the planet before they all end up being lunch or a skull on the wall.
Whoa.
I know. A lot of action.
Wow.
That sounds like a two-part movie.
To be fair, I don't know if I take anybody against an army of predators and reavers. No. I don't know if I take anybody.
But you know the predators? The predators?
The predators.
The predators and the reavers would have to start fighting at some point.
I guess so. But
just a meat grinder at that point.
That is potentially the bloodiest film of all time.
Oh, by the way, he starts out this email by saying, FYI, Mallory Kane from Haywire would totally beat the bride any day of the week. Boom.
I knew there was a reason I always hated Tony. I knew there was.
And so Tony says, so shall it be. Number 3, though, is John Wick, James Bond, and Mallory Kane from Haywire.
Ugh.
There you go.
Have we not heard enough of Mallory effing Kane?
Nope, never can. Number 2, though, is Judge Dredd and Mad Max.
Yes.
I like the pitch here. The pitch: after the last of the mega cities fall, the judges who still mean to hold up the law, uphold the law, head out into the wastelands led by Dredd to bring justice to the world that is ruled by the mad.
Ooh.
I know.
Is that the tagline on the IMDb post of this future movie?
That whole thing?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, as the little description.
Oh, a little blurb, little synopsis. Yeah. I thought even the tagline on the movie poster.
No, that's a little long for a tagline.
A little long.
That's awesome.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah.
Tony, when you make this movie, let us know.
Well, I think Tony might also be going back to the glory days of Judge Dredd, a.k.a. the Rob Schneider and Sylvester Stallone, because there is a point where they end up out in the wastelands with these, like...
Oh, that's right.
Those Mad Men-style kind of dudes.
So sorry, Tony, they've already made the movie.
And Sylvester Stallone ruined it, so... Reboot!
His number 1, though, is The Hand, The League of Assassins, Batman, Daredevil, and The Court of Owls.
Hold on. Whoa. Let's go through that again.
Okay. The Hand.
Yes.
The League of Assassins. Batman. League of Assassins, I think the Talia al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul?
Yeah.
Okay. Batman, Daredevil, and The Court of Owls.
What is The Court of Owls?
Let me just read you the pitch.
Thank you.
Okay. The pitch. One day, an assassin tries to kill Kingpin, but fails and comes to find out that Talia al Ghul wants control of the Hand for herself to have total power and complete what her father started. So Gotham City is a battleground, and Daredevil finds out what is going to happen and warns Batman of the war. Knowing that they do not have the firepower to beat both sides, Batman and Daredevil must make an uneasy alliance with the Court of Owls to protect Gotham from being burned to the ground. So Daredevil, the Court of Owls, and Batman and company must fight off 2 of the greatest ninja assassin armies ever formed before Gotham is in ashes. The Court of Owls is like the secret crime organization in the Batman universe.
Oh.
So they had to team up with them to take out 2 Leagues of Assassins.
Wow.
And The Hand, if you don't know, is the League of Assassins from Daredevil as well.
That is... Man, he loves bloodbaths. Tony wants just gallons and gallons of blood everywhere. Broken bones scattered about. Man, but it sounds good, though.
I've watched that movie.
Sounds good.
But how can you pack that into one movie? Or is it a miniseries?
That would be a great miniseries.
Oh, my God. It'd be such a great miniseries.
I don't know, man, because 3 episodes of that miniseries would just be 60 minutes of straight fighting. Just
what? What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong. I'm just saying. I don't know if the studio's going to pick it up.
But I don't do this normally because I try not to pick a person who wrote in the previous podcast that we read their email. But Nathaniel wrote in 5 great crossovers. And Nathaniel, I got to read them. His top 5 dream crossovers are Twilight, 50 Shades of Grey, Edward discovers that 50 Shades is based on a Twilight fanfic and goes on a roaring rampage of revenge, ending with him killing Christian Grey.
Now that's pretty awesome.
His next one is Indiana Jones and Saw.
What?
Not a full film, probably a 5-minute skit at best. Indy works his way through a bunch of death traps, similar to the end of Last Crusade, but at the end he just finds a crusty old Tobin Bell, who tells him that the real treasure is self-worth. Okay.
That is... That is really funny.
Number three is Riddick and Predator.
Again?
Again!
What are the odds?
He says, my first thought was actually Riddick and Aliens, but we've seen him go up against hordes of enemies before. I'd like to see him go up against a single badass opponent. I can't argue with that.
Yeah. Apparently we're going to have both films, that of the bloodbath of Tony, where there's several Predators, several Reavers against Riddick. And this one, you got a mano-a-mano version, so you can choose.
Yeah, totally. His next one is Dexter and Criminal Minds. Dexter would become a recurring background villain during a season of Criminal Minds. In the penultimate episode, the team captures him, but in the final episode, they need his help to take down the serial killer of the week. I'd watch that series.
Would you?
I would.
Would you watch Criminal Minds?
No.
It's an intriguing idea, but I'm not watching. I'm not. If it's not Law and Order, I'm not watching it.
That's true. His next one is True Lies and Born Identity.
Ooh.
Spy thriller, but mainly played for laughs. The movie would contrast the differences between over-the-top 80s action heroes and gritty 21st century ones as they try to work alongside each other.
That is really good.
We got some winners in there.
Really do.
And now, you know, for the 5 and out copyright code, they're now ours.
All ours. All of ours. All of them are ours. Even the ones that have already been done that you just kind of rehashed, like that one part of Judge Dredd, is not mine. Mine, mine, mine. But seriously, that I really dig the Judge Dredd Mad Max one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I really dig the over-the-top action star, gritty action star together. That's really good.
Hey, man, we got some movies that we have to make now.
Our docket is full of these blockbuster films. Where do we find the time?
We forgot our number one, Police Academy and the Fast and the Furious.
You pretend like I forget. I just want you to think that I forgot so that I can make it. And you can have nothing to do with it.
But guys, that is...
Dude, reboot Police Academy. I'm telling y'all, it's gonna be great.
They probably are rebooting it.
Well, fine. Do it my way. It'll be great. And if it's bad, it's not my fault. You all fucked it up.
But guys, thank you so much for writing in. As always, we love hearing what you guys have to say, because we get shit like the Mad Max and Judge Dredd.
It's good.
Like the Twilight and the 50 Shades of Grey.
That's hilarious. That, and the Saw Indiana Jones one is really funny to me, too.
I'd watch an entire movie of that.
That's really funny.
But Steve, what say you? If we get to our top five.
What say I?
What say you, sir?
I say, let us charge to victory.
Done. What is our top five for the week, sir?
So it's that time of year. It is summer.
Mm-hmm.
It is time for the either the family summer vacation, maybe the summer vacation with the wife, the girlfriend, some buddies, whatever it might be. So we're saying, what characters do you want to take with you on your summer vacation?
And I'm very excited about some of mine.
You should be very excited. So this is, we're trying to keep the idea is not just dudes to and ladies to come hang out with for the whole time, that they're going to do something kind of specific for you as well. So a little bit of hanging out. Also, what are they bringing to the table besides just general hanging out?
Okay. Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to start out with my number five.
Please do.
Granted, you just said that this can't happen, but... What he's bringing to the table is he's hanging out.
It's a general hangout.
What I wanted was another person to take along for my family vacation.
Where are you going on your family vacation?
To like a theme park for this one.
Okay.
And what I wanted was to bring David. Oh, by the way, for this one, Steve and I are trying not to do ones that we continually pick. Like, I'm not going to pick Buffy and... Riddick.
Yeah, Riddick, Indiana Jones, yeah. Saw.
And Steve's not going to pick whatever the bullshit he always picks.
Yeah, Miss Piggy.
Yeah. We're going to try and bring some people in that we don't normally bring.
Yeah.
So what I'm bringing is, I'm bringing David Hillard from Mrs. Doubtfire.
David Hillard. Is that Robin Williams?
Robin Williams, man.
I was like, oh, are you going with the Pierce Brosnan character?
Oh, no.
You're hanging out with Mrs. Doubtfire?
Not Mrs. Doubtfire, David Hillard.
Why David Hillard? What?
What he's bringing to the table is everyone loves him. We can take – he loves kids. So this – by the way, this is the entire family. So he'll take the kids to go on all the rides, and the adults can have the fun.
What?
What? You would you shut up? You would love to hang out with David Hillard. You would love it. And he's always – he keeps everyone excited, and he's always finding new and interesting things to do.
Like I wanted what?
I don't know. All I know is he throws a birthday party for his daughter, and he brings in a petting zoo and, like, all these neighborhood kids, like, on, like, a whim. What, could you imagine what he could do at a theme park?
This is quite honestly the worst pick I think you have ever made.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
David,
the dad from Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yes!
Not even as Mrs. Doubtfire?
No!
Why? He's just a dude.
He's just a great dude.
He's all you're basically saying, like, all right, I want to go out with my friends, and I just want to bring, you know, my general good friend. What about him? Does he have a good job? I mean, he has a job. Does he have kids? Yeah, they kind of hate him. but he's good. He's a good dad. You just brought a babysitter. You just brought a babysitter. A middle-aged male babysitter.
Steve, I told you the only thing he's bringing to this table is general hanging out.
He's not even hanging out with you. He's taking kids on a fucking roller coaster. Why wouldn't you rather get a Ninja Turtle to do this?
Because Raphael, he's brooding. Leonardo.
There are honestly 50 dudes that are better and or more exciting to do this.
Name one.
Honestly, the dude.
You can't name one.
Oh my God. Anyone that was in any of those mashups that we just named.
Mad Max.
I would rather have Predator take the kids out of goddamn roller coaster.
Wouldn't you love to hang out with David Hillard from Mrs. Doubtfire?
No!
What are you talking about?
Why would I want to hang out with him over any other dude?
Because he's awesome! And maybe I just watched Mrs. Doubtfire a couple weeks ago.
Holy shit. I know we were doing some deep cuts here, but my God! That is a cut to the bone. I mean, you are grasping at straws, dude. Whoa! Terrible.
Number five. I should have been my number one. David Hillard.
God. I'm pretty sure you can go to a theme park and he's there anyway. He's just the kind of nice guy at an amusement park.
Wait. One thing I forgot to say that he brings to the table. Voices.
Great. Never mind.
You can't deny that.
I take back everything I've just said.
You know what? My number five should have been my number one. David
Jesus
Hillard.
Christ.
How mad would you be if I had like four awesome other picks? My number one was David Hillard.
Oh my God, that's awful. God.
David Hillard, man. I'm going to have a great time at Six Flags with David
God,
Hillard.
What a shitty everything.
He is great. He's like, look, I found this secret, hidden part of the theme park.
Why would he find that?
Because he's like that.
It makes no sense. I found this secret part. What? Does he have some sort of like secret supervision? No, he's just like that. He finds secrets. Bullshit. Bullshit. Oh my God. I don't know if I can go on. It's the worst pick you've ever had.
Oh, remember how I said I've never passed out before?
Oh, God.
Oh, man, I think I'm about to pass out.
Oh, my God. All right. I'll just be brief with mine, because I don't know if I can go on.
Whew. All right.
All right. So, you know what? I'm going to have a... This is the family time. Family time. We're in a, you know, kind of a...
Sally Fields or Mrs. Doubtfire.
No, I'm taking the Pierce Brosnan character, because he's just so much cooler. God. Fucking A.
So, a little behind the scenes, we had to take a minute off mic to collect ourselves after that one. During that minute, I looked up Mrs. Doubtfire on Wikipedia. I realized I had written the character's name down wrong. It's actually Daniel Hillard. So, not only did I pick a great character, but I took the wrong person with me to sixth place.
Like, that's how terrible a pick is, that he would walk up and be like, "Hi, I'm David Hillard," and you wouldn't even know it's the wrong dude. You wouldn't even know it.
I found the secret part of the park.
It's why?
Just the men's room.
That's not secret at all. Oh, Wes.
So
my no,
pick is, my pick is now Daniel Hillard.
Oh my.
My number
God.
Four is David Hillard.
Oh. All right, my number five.
All right.
Family vacation. We're going one of these two places. We're either going to Australia or we are going to Africa. This is the only time I'd want to go here. Probably we're going to go to Africa. Let's say we're going to the Serengeti because my family is traveling with Dr. Doolittle.
Okay.
Let me give you one wild guess what Dr. Doolittle would do for me.
General hangouts?
General hangouts and finding hidden shit.
Only he would talk to animals.
He would talk to the animals. Again, Dr. Doolittle's a little bit weird. I'm not looking to, like, you know, over have, you know, drinks with Dr. Doolittle, hang out. Whatever, man. You do what you do. We're going to go out, and we're going to talk to animals, dude. We're going to go out. We're going to see lions and tigers. Probably no bears. Don't
oh
you say it.
Ah, ah, I did it.
We're going to go out there, and he is what a cool thing, A, to go out on, like, a safari. Just period. That's a really cool thing. To have an elephant wander up to you and Dr. Doolittle essentially just be your translator between you and an elephant,
mm-hmm.
That would be incredible. That'd be so cool. Trip of a lifetime with the family. And this is a true family vacation because this is fun for all ages. This, you know, a little water gets splashed by the trunk of an elephant on grandma. Everyone laughs, and she'd be like, "Elephant, you're a real son of a bitch." And then Dr. Doolittle translates, and the elephant charges, like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, just kidding.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Just kidding, baby." And then, you know, a cheetah runs over and, like, "Hey, would you mind taking my little cousin for a ride on your back?" "Well, shit, all right." And off you go. Yeah. That would be incredible.
Not as good as my number five, but
you win, so you're up 1-0.
That's right. No, that's a good pick. It's a very good
pick. So Dr. Doolittle, number five.
All right. My number four is we're going a dude Vegas vacation.
Yeah.
And I'm taking Nucky Thompson from Boardwalk Empire.
Okay.
Why? Because he's super rich and he has no problems just being like handing out like just stacks of bills. Like, "Hey, kids, go have a good time." But why I'm bringing him specifically is because he knows where all the naughty fun is. And, like, he would take... We would go to, like, the hotels that you and I book. You know, like, they're mid-level, whatever. Yeah. And he'd take one look at him like, "No, no, no. Kids, come with me." And, like, we'd go to, like, what's the best hotel? Like, the Bellagio or something.
Sure.
Like, let's get the
presidential
suite. For this guy. Let's get the top floor for this guy. And, like, yeah. So, he's super rich. He's just throwing out money everywhere. And he's Steve Buscemi, so we wouldn't have to beat the ladies off him like we would with Robert Downey Jr.
No, definitely not. You're looking to be a high roller for a little bit.
Yeah.
I can't blame that.
Of course, man.
And also, there's something nice about his 1920s-ish vibe that exudes a little bit of class,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, a little just a refinement of that time that we don't have this day and age as much.
Exactly.
So a little classy high roller time. That's cool, man.
Yeah, most people would be sipping whiskey and he'd be like, you know what? Bring us the good stuff. Like, yeah. Slip the waiter $100. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The only problem would be that the inflation rate. So he'd be, like, handing out stacks of $5 bills in modern-day currency.
I was thinking present-day Nucky Tucks.
No, I know. No, I know. Yeah, I'm just kidding. That's a fun guys. That's almost like a bachelor party kind of setup.
Oh yeah, because he'd know where all the girls would be and the fine whiskey.
But you know what? Summer vacation is not always with the family.
No.
Summer vacation. There's a guy like guys weekend out summer vacation. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, I'm gonna stay in the wild for my number four. I'm not a real outdoorsy dude. And by not really an outdoorsy dude, I mean I don't dig the outdoors that much. Mm-hmm. I really don't. But I do enjoy adventurous things. So if I could combine those two with a great field guide like that of Bear Grylls,
mm-hmm.
I would be much, much more interested. Because my wife's family, they like to go. We go out to Wisconsin every year. That's where her family goes every year. Super fun time. But they go on like a hike and a bike ride through whatever. And I'm like, yeah, you guys go have fun. I'm going to be down by the lake, sipping a beer, hanging out on a raft. Like, see you later. But if we're going on these hikes and Bear Grylls is even on the mundane side of it, just pointing out edible this, you know, you can use this, you can make a rope out of this, whatever. And then all of a sudden it's like, and here we go, by the way, we're going to rappel down the side of this cliff. It's like, here we go. We're going right now. And we're going to dive off we're going to jump off this helicopter into this, like, water, this pool in the middle of this. It's like, yes, yes. Like, that kind of outdoorsy stuff. All about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there is a little bit of a gap in my manliness where I would love to think, you know, a plane goes down. You're stranded out there in the wilderness. Like, I'm going to survive. No, I'm not.
No way,
no.
Sir.
Nope. Even with a survival kit.
Nope.
I'm probably not going to survive. I'm not going to do that. So this would be the closest I would get to a feeling like I'm living that kind of that life for a little bit. And also learning a few things that just in case. It would help fill in that gap. I suppose, for me. So educational for me and the family,
mm-hmm.
Would unify us in these tests of our limits of jumping off stuff and also learning. And Bear Grylls in general seems like a pretty cool dude. But also when we finish our hike and stuff, Bear, you can go into your cabin. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll pick up where we left off. There's some dinner in there for you. Enjoy. See you tomorrow, dude.
Yeah.
Or if he comes over by the campfire and hangs out, then you're okay.
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
So Bear Grylls, my number four.
That's a good pick, man.
Thank you.
That's a good pick. I didn't think about, like, going to, you know, the wilds or anything, because, like you, I don't go into the wilds for anything.
Yeah, I normally don't either, but it is, you know, given the opportunity, I would do that with Bear Grylls.
Okay. Or Dr. Doolittle.
Or Dr. Doolittle.
Okay. Well, my number three... This is not my only other family vacation. We're going to a very remote cabin in the woods, and we're taking Korra from Legend of Korra. You don't know what I'm talking about. It's a secret series. Secret series. Daniel
Avatar,
Hiller,
right?
Discovered it.
Of Avatar?
Avatar, yes.
Yeah, okay.
So she can create fire, water, air, and earth from her hands. She can also control the elements wherever they may be. So, if we're going to a remote cabin on the lake, she can do anything she wants to that lake. She can create a little wave pool. She can do waves if people want to surf. Like, she can do anything. She can light fires. She can. But what I thought, for the family, is like, she can. If people for some reason want to hike, she can raise the earth into a mountain?
Sure.
Slowly. We don't want to disrupt any animal habitats too much. But, like, you know, she can raise Earth into a mountain.
Yeah.
And then that. She can create, like, this smooth earthen slide inside of a hill, to go into the lake. She can use air to fly. And she can make other people fly along with her.
That's a tough to beat combo right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what she would do with fire besides, I don't know, light the bonfire at night, but...
Perfectly toasted marshmallows for s'mores?
Perfectly toasted marshmallows for s'mores.
That's a pretty all-encompassing...
I wrote down, she's a Swiss Army knife of family yeah. vacations.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That is pretty good.
She can do just about anything with any element. Well, those four elements.
Yeah, I like that. And then if you combine her and Bear Grylls, whoa! That's a combo right there.
What if it turns out that he's the present-day Avatar?
Ah, then he has really not done a good job with his powers. He could do so much better.
Wow. So there you go. That's my number three, Korra.
All right, my number three is actually the very...
I should say she's also not too bad on the eyes. But okay. Anyway, continue.
You know what? I specifically did not choose a super attractive woman to go out on, like, a man's date. I'm sorry if I'm stealing one of your... am I?
No, okay. What are you talking about?
So just a character to... So an option would be to do kind of like the Vegas or whatever, like, man's weekend, just a bunch of you and your buddies, and then have... Jessica Rabbit, whatever super attractive girl to go. But I'm like, I don't want that because that's just going to change the dynamic of the vacation because I'm going with a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, I picked Steve Buscemi, not an attractive woman.
Oh, I thought it was one and the same. Are you not incredibly sexually aroused by Steve Buscemi like me?
I mean, I thought I was the only one.
No, finally, something in common. Just saying, I left off the super sexy lady because okay. I don't feel as if that's going to help me at all on these vacations.
Okay, fair enough.
For once, boobs, not a priority in this list.
Whoa.
But with that being said, I have a person that has boobs. This is actually the very first person I thought of.
Margaret Thatcher.
I think she would be an excellent selection. She could sit there and bitch about everything. My number three is Elastigirl from The Incredibles. The scene that comes to mind immediately is when the airplane missile scene and she grabs the kids and turns herself into a parachute as they come down onto the water. And then once they get to the water, she turns herself into a boat. And I know it's Dax that does. Is Dax right? Dax does the motor for the boat, essentially.
Yeah.
But I was like, it would be really fun to have that kind of ability out on the vacation in the regards of this. Did you want to go parasailing? Ain't no deal. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. Elastigirl is here. Any sort of game that you are going to play with the family on the vacation, like a badminton, a volleyball, a basketball, anything like that, having Elastigirl be a part of that game would be incredibly fun. Because I love childish games like that. Like,
yeah.
Like, or maybe she is part of the net for like badminton. Like, who knows? So for various water activities, she could... She's very, she has many applications, I suppose.
Sure.
In such a regard. I just feel like it'd be a really cool thing where it's not nearly as fun as as all-encompassing as the Avatar selection.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's a really cool mom as well.
Yeah.
Which.
She's like Daniel Hillard.
Very much Daniel Hillard.
Daniel David.
So I like. There's kind of a motherly vibe coming in, so no one's going to get too crazy.
Yeah.
But also, once the kids go to bed, I feel like Elastigirl's going to have a drink and hang out and be cool.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, there's going to be, like, cool party tricks that she's going to be able to do with the...
See, when you said, like, she'll turn into a boat and then we'll, like, all sail on her, I was like, can you imagine, in real life, sitting on someone's back as it's stretched out? There's probably, like... A pimple or stretch marks or something. Like,
just for the record, she is not in a bikini for this. She is in Incredibles gear.
Oh, okay.
And that's the only way. Until we get into like late night beverages,
mm-hmm.
then she can slip into a nicer dress or you know something.
We'll allow her to do.
She
that.
Can finally, but you know like oh man, I just need a little more ice in this drink. Like and it's right back.
But what if she has like. Gas or something, and you're sitting right.
If she's got gas, she just stretches her ass out into the backyard and.
But I was thinking, like, what? What if you were riding in her at the time?
Riding, I'm riding inside Elastigirl. And all of a sudden, she's got a huge fart.
Steve, this is a serious podcast.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. If Elastigirl is struggling with some indigestion, I will quickly provide a suitable remedy for her symptoms. Perhaps an Alka-Seltzer? Perhaps that of a Tums? Yeah, I just think she'd be a cool, real-life person to hang out with. As well as just like crazy things we didn't even think we could do with the last girl. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah. That is a nice motherly pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not as good as Daniel Hillard. My
top two, feeling real good about.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Do it.
All right. My number two is Nina Thoreau from Alphas, which you've never seen.
No, because that's the knockoff of Heroes, right?
It's not, I mean, in the only way that it features people with powers. That's the only way it is.
Yeah, you know, just like X-Men is a knockoff of Superman.
That's right. No, Alphas is a sci-fi show, way too short-lived in my opinion, because it's surprisingly good. Anyway, Nina Thoreau has the power where she's able to push her will onto people. So by speaking, and she could turn it on and off whenever she wants. So I'm thinking a friend's vacation.
Oh God.
In New York. Not like a dude's, but like just a friend's. And you were talking about high rollers earlier. She can do what we could do, whatever we wanted in New York because of her. We could crash movie stars' parties. We could borrow someone's convertible. We could see a Broadway show, get in for free. We could do whatever it is we wanted. We could get a free plane ride around the thing. Whatever your heart desires, Steve, she could do just by speaking to somebody.
That's good.
That is good.
It's very
like,
good.
Like, my imagination doesn't go that far.
Sure.
So, that's what I want, just to be able, just to have the world as my oyster for a full, like, four-day weekend. And then, you know, come back home. She doesn't do it often because, quick side note about the show, if she uses her power too much, like we're talking like over years, the person goes brain dead. So she doesn't use it very much.
The person she talks to. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So she doesn't do it very much. She's not.
What would be your top two things to do in New York with her ability?
To go to like a high rolling movie stars party,
okay.
I feel would be awesome. And to get kind of the same thing, but to get into a really exclusive club.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Or to see like a really expensive like Broadway show or something. You know, that's my top like three.
Okay.
I don't know, what would you do?
We have a very different, if she's forcing her will on what I'm going out with New York boat cops. Like, hey, let's go fuck with people with the police. like let's go pull over jet skiers and stuff, and I don't know, I feel like fucking with people is just so much more fun.
See, fucking with people is always at the top of your mind.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, I feel like if I went to a really exclusive club, I would go in there and I would have a drink and I'd look around and be like, oh man, there's, I don't know, P. Diddy. And over there's Will Ferrell or whatever. Like, cool. All right, well, they sure as fuck don't want to talk to me. So,
but she could walk up to them and say, you should get to know Steve.
Yeah.
And then, like, you're part of that group?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, you'd be partying with P. Diddy, Will Ferrell, and Bear Grylls. Bear Grylls is there.
Bear Grylls is there. Oh, shit.
Daniel Hillard cannot get in.
Everyone should think the pick of Daniel Hillard is very good.
I need to hear right now.
Would that be like, look, number one, I need to get an exclusive club. Number two, I want to get to the top of the Statue of Liberty. Number three, I need everyone to think that pick wasn't completely stupid.
Dude, think about it. You can party with movie stars.
Yeah, that's
neat. Yeah, you can give me a yeah.
Honestly, I don't like, I'm not crazy about celebrity necessarily.
Okay.
I just don't.
But it'd be cool to talk about.
Sure. It'd be a fun. It would definitely be fun. I'm not saying it would not be that. I don't like. This is getting way. This is way too deep into it. But I just going into a club, be like, "Hey, P. Diddy, what's up, dude?" It's like, "Hey, cool." And we talk for a few minutes, then we leave. I don't think that that is necessarily much better than going to just finding a random, like, finding a random dude at a bar in Chicago that doesn't make any money or whatever and just tells you a cool story or whatever. I don't think it's necessarily any better.
Sure.
Because it's not like talking to P. Diddy, I'm now going to be part of his company and bringing in six figures doing whatever.
You don't know that.
It's, to be fair, I know that. I know if I meet P. Diddy, he's not going to be like, wow. This young white man.
But, oh, usually I'm the same as you, but with Nina Thoreau there,
sure. No, I understand.
You kidding me?
It is cool.
She could tell him to make you a part of his crew.
Yeah, that's true.
And give him
six
figures.
But you wouldn't have earned it. You wouldn't have earned it.
Yeah, I'll be shallow all the way to the bank.
Fair. All right, my number two. I'm actually gonna my number two. You kind of treaded on this a little bit with Avatar. And I'm giving love to someone who so, so rarely gets it, who is the butt of so many jokes, but quite honestly could give you a phenomenal Caribbean vacation. And that man is none other than Aquaman. This is why Aquaman is getting love. A, as I just said, he is the butt of the superhero universe.
Mm-hmm.
But, pardon the pun, but Aquaman, if you, so you're there on this beautiful Caribbean vacation, you're on this island, and all of a, and then your butler for the weekend in your super fancy resort.
What's with you and butts here?
Butts. Oh, I did say butler. Oh, my third pun on this. He shows up. He's like, "I'm sorry. Did you guys want to go scuba diving today?" Like, we did. All of a, he just like blows a bubble around your head in the water. You don't need all the scuba gear. Mm-hmm. And then instead of swimming your way down to see the fish, two dolphins come over for you, and you grab onto the fin, and you go down, and then you're like, "Ah, oh, yeah, it's nice. I see a couple of fish here." Aquaman snaps his fingers, and all of a sudden, every single thing from the ocean that you would want to see appears in front of you. And then all of a sudden, like, a whale is there. And Aquaman's like, "Hey, you want to go swimming with whales?" Like, I do. I do want to go swimming with whales. Absolutely. Because the Caribbean vacation is very, very much predicated on the water in many, many ways. Because you're on the beach. Maybe you're chilling on the beach and you just want to hear the waves lapping up as you're taking a little snooze on the beach. It's like, "Aquaman, can we just get a little bit faster wave action?" No problem. My wife likes to go out into the ocean and just kind of like chill, relax. I'm the dude that loves wave day. I love the waves, playing in waves. It's like, "Aquaman, Holly is out of the water. Wave it up, baby. Let's wave this thing up. And whatever kind of waves I need, Aquaman's got me covered."
Yeah.
And then I'm like, "Oh, man, Aquaman, swallow a little bit of ocean water there. Get me on a dolphin jet ski out of here." And I'm out. So Aquaman, in the grand scheme of things, of the superhero world, he sucks. He sucks. He does. But if he is your activity coordinator on a tropical Caribbean vacation, that shit is legit. And I'm guessing the dude can, like, coordinate a volleyball game or something.
Surprisingly inept.
Aquaman, shit! Have you even played darts? This is not how we do this, Aquaman. This is the worst face painting I've ever seen in my life. Oh, my God!
You just put your hand on this poor kid's face.
Oh, my God! My little cousin's crying. You painted out her eye. But then again, we did have that sweet crab dinner tonight that you hooked up. So I do appreciate that. So, man, I mean, when you're on one of those islands, you live on the water and you eat out of the water. And Aquaman's going to hook you up, dude.
Yeah.
And you know what? I just want to give some love and a place where Aquaman shines.
There you go. I'm surprised he made you number two.
Number two, baby.
All right. You know, but to be fair, you've gone to a lot of tropical islands in the past year.
I have.
So I can see why it's on your mind.
Thank you.
My number one, this one comes with a caveat. We're going with Axe from Animorphs, only because he would bring the Andalite Morphing Cube. For those of you out there, with the cube, you can turn into any animal that you touch. So we need to do some prep work beforehand. We need to go to, like, a zoo and touch some animals. You know how easy that is.
You know, molest some animals.
Yeah. And then we can just go out into the woods and then turn into a bunch of animals. And then feel how it is to fly like a falcon, to run like a wolf, to run like a cheetah. Steve, how awesome would it be to soar like an eagle?
I love that right there you just became a kindergarten teacher. The eagle does what?
Fly!
The cheetah does what? Runs! That's right. Very good. The panda does what? It's fat. You're right. It is fat. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I got to say. It's fine. Yeah.
I just want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle.
Let my spirit carry me.
I want to fly.
I mean, that's fine. It's cool. I just wish you'd do more with the powers of being an animal than just...
What else can he do besides...
Run and fly. You don't like running now.
But I would if I was a wolf or a cheetah.
How do you know that? Maybe they fucking hate running too.
Are you kidding me?
No.
You've seen them run.
What?
You've seen them run.
I've seen you run.
I am surprisingly slow.
Shockingly. What if you became a cheetah and you ran at the same speed as you did as your human body? And what if when you turn into a cheetah, you also walked like a human, just upright and slow on your hind legs? What if whatever animal you turned into, you retained your human stylings? Like what if you turn into an eagle, you're a 6 foot tall eagle, like, wearing glasses.
I'm that dude from the Muppets.
Yeah. Oh, dude. You're like, yeah, I'm going to fly. But you're just a guy swinging his arms around.
And everyone else around me is flying, soaring, like, oh, majestically running.
That would be so funny.
Like, guys.
That's like a nightmare with a genie. Like, I want to be able to turn into animals. Like, well, fine. You can't do shit as an animal. You can turn into a human-sized falcon.
You're just going to be a freak show falcon.
Enjoy.
Oh, man. I realize now that I kind of cheated because he had to bring a prop. And if I just brought Axe, he'd be kind of a pill.
just generally, hey, guys, want to smoke some weed? No! Where's the cube? I lost my luggage, man.
God, Axe, can you just wait in the car for the weekend?
Should have checked my bags.
Oh, man, that's my number one. I just want to turn into some animals.
Okay.
That's all I want.
Okay.
Steve, I mean, I'm on my list. I'm already a high roller. I already got my Swiss Army knife. I've got Daniel Hillard. I need to turn into animals.
Just so you know, potentially on this list, you're hanging out with sub-average Daniel Hillard and general loser Axe. Just saying, two of your five picks really pooped the bed. Assuming he doesn't have a cube or he isn't dressed as an English maid.
And really, after he gives us a cube, he can go home.
Yeah. So, okay. My number one, we're going, again, I said that there's a part of my manliness that is missing.
Yeah.
And this is my one.
Is it the tip?
It's just the tip. This is the one, like, guy's weekend that I have. So, again, we've got four or five dudes, and we're not going to a cabin. We're not going to a resort. We are driving in a big RV.
Oh.
We are in an RV. Yeah. And we're going to a couple stops on this weekend. Mostly small towns, because the guy I'm with is going to, he's going to help fill that one part of my manhood that I'm missing. And that is the part of fighting, of getting in fights. So who else to bring in an RV, drinking cheap beer, getting in fights, but Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Ah, that's good.
So a couple, that's good. You, me, a couple other dudes, preferably who have fought a little bit more than you and I have.
Yeah.
And Stone Cold Steve Austin. You can drink something else besides beer because you're allergic to hops, but we're going to sit in an RV drinking shitty beer, getting hyped up, and then we're going to go into local bars, and Steve Austin is going to talk a ton of shit to dudes who don't deserve it, and we're going to get in bar fights. We're going to get in bar fights, and then who knows, maybe The Rock stops by, and he has a rival gang, and it's going to be like West Side Story, Steve Austin.
With them singing and dancing.
It's going to be amazing, because you and I are there, so we're going to add some singing and dancing.
Oh, yeah.
I just think having a total man weekend with Stone Cold Steve Austin
mm-hmm.
would be A, exhausting.
Oh, yeah.
But it would be so awesome. We'd go hunt some stuff. We would eat what we hunt. We would baste it in beer and then drink beer as we eat that meat. And then we're going to play cards. I don't even really like playing cards, but I would like playing cards with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Can he bring that truck with a fire hose of beer?
You're damn right we can. that'll be trailed behind our giant RV. So, dude, we're going to, again, this is going to take me so much out of my comfort zone doing stuff. But, again, I'm with buddies. I'm pretty much smashed the whole time. And then, so, like, the first couple nights, we're going to go out. Steve Austin's, like, the first night, he's just going to talk a ton of shit in a bar. We're not going to get in a fight. We're just going to get, like, the blood pump and be like, oh, man, oh. Almost got in a fight back there. The next night, we're going to fight. Like, Steve Austin's going to take out three dudes by himself. Like, wow! Then the next one, he's going to talk more shit. We're going to get a big brawl. I'll take a punch, whatever. And then, maybe the fifth night, I'm going to be the one that's going in there talking shit, barking out stuff like Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm Stone Cold Other Steve! Just going in there and slamming beers down and I don't know why I'm picking fights. I'm like, your shirt is stupid. What kind of mustache is that? I bet you buy your meat from your local grocery store, you pussy! And then we're going to fight. We're going to knock down, drag out fights, and I don't even care. At that point, if I like get knocked out cold, it would only be appropriate that I was Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
And at some point, I am going to deliver a Stone Cold Stunner on a dude. For real. Not a wrestling Stone Cold Stunner. I'm going to jump too far forward and knock that dude out with a Stone Cold Stunner. And it's going to be awesome. I'm probably going to come back with a tattoo, and it's going to be awful. Because it's probably going to be given to me by Stone Cold Steve Austin. But it's going to be the weekend with the boys that can never be topped.
All right.
It's going to be awesome.
That is a good pick. It's almost too manly for me, Steve.
It is intensely manly.
Oh, man. Well, to review my top five. Probably my best list in a while, I'm thinking. My number five is David/Daniel Hillard. We'll never know. My number four is Nucky Thompson in Vegas. High rolling. My number three is the Swiss Army Knife of the Family Vacation, Cora. My number two is Nina Thoreau, the Pusher. My number one is Axe, but he better goddamn have that analyte cube.
Otherwise, that's a big loss at number one.
Oh, no.
Number five. Dr. Doolittle, going with the whole family, we're having an animal adventure in Africa. Number four, Bear Grylls, teaching us what it means to be a man out in the wild, in the wilderness. Number three, we're bringing the family vibe with Elastigirl, the mom who can transform into whatever we need, and she can blow her farts out in the backyard. Number two, the guy who needs a little bit of love, finally finding his dream job. And that's Aquaman as the events coordinator at a tropical island. Number one, it may just be too much testosterone. It may be, but damn it, we're going to find out. And that's a boys' weekend in an RV with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Steve, that's a good pick.
Whew!
The more I think about it, the more I like it.
You're damn right. It scares you.
It does. It does.
It really scares you.
It's really scary.
Because we're going together, so we'll both be scared.
No, I'm gonna go on my vacation with Axe.
But, dude, there is – I'm telling you, it is a great man feeling when one of your buddies – you know, he starts running his mouth or whatever it is. It starts doing something stupid, and you go, God damn it. I have to do this with him. I don't want to. But Stone Cold is like, here we go! And I'm like, oh, I won't even have time to say God damn it because I'm already further down the rabbit hole than I've ever been.
Yeah, yeah.
So, guys, that wraps up another top five, and we would love to hear what you guys, what characters you want to bring with you on your family vacations, on your romantic getaways, on your boys' nights, your girls' nights.
I'll let you take Daniel Hillard.
you know what? He's so good. He's going to be on everyone's top five.
That's right.
We already it should have been ruled out because it's such an obvious choice. So please email us, let us know, put a comment here on this page, let us know what you want to bring with you on your trips. What's the best way to get a hold of us, Wes?
You can leave a comment here on this page, which you just said. You can also email us at 5playnet@gmail.com.
We look forward to hearing what you guys had to say about this top five. Please go back, check out the archives, check out our previous top fives as well. We look forward to seeing you back here next week for our next brand new top five. But until then, as always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was five, and we're out!